All right, you are all unmuted. We have 2 minutes to go. Crazy morning, I'll tell you. Crazy day. And so the first thing for all those who are having trouble right now, since we have time, I'll actually pull up the list of all the Cholim that have COVID-19. Aaron Rachel, Aaron Yeshua, Ben Eto, Aaron Mangolda, Aaron Stephen, Leva Sara, Aaron Yaakov, Ben Bona, Aaron Mordechai, Ben Golda, I'm just going to list a few, Aaron Yaakov, Ben Godalea, Alter Chaim, Mordechai, Ben Rachel, Baruch, Ben Sarach, Baruch, Ben Sarach, Chana, Rivka, Basra, Rachel, Esther, Cheti, Bat Miriam, Chaim, Ben Rosia, Chana, Chaya, Fagel, Bat, Sarifka, Ilan Avarich ben Nava, Frida bat Sara, Gito bat Rachel, Pesohanan ben Marga, I'm pretty sure that's Bat Marga, Isir Rafael ben Liba, and Moshe ben Rosette, and all the other Cholim, and Chava bat Chaim. All right. Let's jump right into it. So, we are up to Mishnah Tat Zayin. We're not going to go so in-depth into this one because I really want to get to Yud Zayin. It's a very meaty Mishnah, and there's a lot of questions and answers. The Alshech goes all out on Yud Zayin. But in order to get to Yud Zayin, we're paragraph for those who are joining for the first time. We gotta begin with Tet Zayin. Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, Rabbi Gamliel would say, Afila Charav, take for yourself a Rebbe, Vesoik min hasafik, in order to remove yourself from doubt, the al tirbela asir umma doubt, and do not make a habit of estimating when measuring, rather measure, put the work out there. So, I'll do the work in the wrong, and then I'll list a lesson I personally think can be learned from the last line of the Mishnah. Again, you could take a full grain of salt. Far from a rabbi. But, yeah, I'm far from a rabbi. You could take the lesson that I think we could have to with the grain of salt, which is why we're starting with the Bartanura. Fil harab, take for yourself Rebbe. The onayin harab midbar achshav, in batin lefanavis talekabau. It is now, it's saying afil harab in the context concerning the matter of jurisdiction. If a case comes in front of you and you're in doubt about it, you have a situation, you have a shayla, it happens to all of us. Make for yourself a rabbi, to remove yourself from doubt. And do not decide it upon yourself, as it was with Rava, when a possibly unfit animal was brought to him, he would gather all the shochtim of Mata Machsa, and they would say so that we will all only receive a chip of the bean, meaning he consulted with them before he made his final decision. So, too, if we have a shayla, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask. The Mishnah is telling us to say l'cha rav, this the lakeman of Safek, to remove yourself from Safek. Now, Valtir Ravasa Ramada, Bhartanura says that we could learn from this that one who separates his measurements by estimation is not spirit from disarray. If he reduces from what needs to be given, this is also talking about Meisser, his measurements are made adequate, but his fruit used from Meisser are disarrayed. If he adds upon what is fitting to give, his fruits are wondered and adequate, and his Meissers are disarrayed. Now, what I personally think we could learn from it, from this, is that putting the extra 2 minutes means everything. The extra 2 seconds that we put in the work, is everything. The extra minute, the extra second, the extra hour, put the power to it, put your work in, it's definitely worth it, and I think that's what the mission is telling us. You pull up the Ravina Yona, see if he says anything on this. Hold on. Ooh, the Rambam. We haven't done him in a while. Back to Sivcha Rav, the Rambam. How could I have forgotten the Rambam? Holy my mind, he's one of the biggest tzaddikim. If the Lakeman of Safek, remove yourself from doubt. I'm just going to read the English. At which he commanded here to make a mentor, a rabbi, if not regarding learning, but rather legal decisions. Place yourself a mentor that you can rely on, the forbidden and the permissible. Somebody who you could ask is it, and trust, is it Asher or is it Kasher? As I said in Yoshami Moed Katan, Perek Aleph, sorry, 110, I don't know what the Hebrew value would be here. Go and bring me a zakin from the marketplace, and I will rely upon him and permit it to you. And so too did he command to flee from putting out Meisser by estimation, because it is from the depth. Estimation is guessing. It takes a minute or a minute and a half extra to do the work. So the lesson that Rabbi Gamliel was telling us in here, do the work. Put on the elbow grease and do the work. Two more mishnahs to finish the parag. Yerchet, I am going to see for tomorrow. I'm going to save, I'm actually going to give tomorrow at the end. I very much thank Eli Nyman for being willing to step in, but Baruch Hashem, I will be around. Now we're up to the meat and potatoes. We're first as the Zahakwal, read the Mishnah, go through all the questions of the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, very big fan of the commentary on Avos of his. And then we will proceed with the answers. And this is my favorite Mishnah. My favorite Mishnah. And a lot of Rabbeim disagree with this Mishnah. But I don't think Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was a slouch. I mean, his son, you have Shimon ben Gamliel, this is Shimon ben Gamliel, remember Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, his grandson, then you have his son, which is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. I don't think the guy was a slouch, and I think it's very true. So this may sound controversial, but I think there's a lot of lessons we can learn from this. Shimon ben Omer, Shimon ben his son said, Kol yemei gedalti bein hachamim. All my life I grew up amongst the Chachamim. Below Masati Leguf Tov, and I found nothing better for the soul, Elishika, than silence. The next few words are going to blow your mind. Which, I know when I was in yeshiva, not going to say which one, everyone was like, Beis Medrash, Talmud Torah, learning, 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 that was a stress. Zak Shimon Beno, Shimon the son of Rabbi Gumbiyad. I'm not saying learning is not important, but it's not the most important. Riloha Medrash Hua Iker. The Beis Medrash is not the Iker. Eloha Maisa, rather actions. Rather actions. Rather practicing what one has learned. And whoever speaks excessively brings on Avera, brings on sin. Ra'al Sheikh asks 10 questions. 10 questions, 10 answers. That's a lot. Question number one. So I may actually read the question, then answer it, then go out. You know what? No, I'll just read all 10, then answer all 10. Question number one. Why does Rabbi Shimon need to say that he grew up amongst Chacham in order to teach that silence is good for the body? Number two, how would growing up amongst Chachamim teach the benefit of silence? To the contrary, the Chachamim's occupation excessively involves speech, namely Talmud Torah. Number three, the question I found nothing better is puzzling. What is the lesson here, and what is Rabbi Shimon talking about? Number four, Lakuf for the body. Seems he could have just survived from nothing better than silence. Why did he say for the body, for the soul, the Haguf? That clause, study is not the main thing, appears to be incorrect. The Gemara Kedushin asks, what is greater, Torah study or mitzvot, and says, Talmud Torah k'neged kulam. Torah is greater. So, who is Rabbi Shimon to disagree? Number six. Without Medrash Hua Iker, study is not the meaning. The word who seems one word too many. Adkan, and furthermore, six and seven is really one question. The Mishnah's middle clause, study is not the main thing, seems unrelated to its first and last clauses. Number eight, the end of the Mishnah, excessive talk leads to sin, seems to render the first part of the Mishnah, the Sifa and the Resha. I found nothing better for the body than silence. Does it not seem obvious that if talking leads to Avera, silence is the best thing? Why are we being redundant? You know, just to throw in a little joke here, you know, Mr. Tom Jones one time applied for a position, and at John Hopkins University, and he ended up being told that the position that he would be getting is the head of the redundancy department. But joking aside, this seems to be redundant in the Mishnah. Question 9. Why does the Mishnah need this conclusion, this end, the Seifa altogether? There's already an explicit pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yod, pasuk Yotat, that says in an abundance of words, many words, Avir will not be lacking. We could basically think the same thing. And question 10, is speaking of Avera, the pasuk in Mishlei uses the word Pesha, which refers to intentional Avera, or Mishnah uses the word chet, which refers to unintentional Avera. Why? So, the answer very interestingly does not go in order of answering the questions. He answers question 4 first. Question 4 was, the word lakuf for the body seems out of place. It could have just said, I feel nothing better than silence. Why do we need the guff? So there are two kinds of speech. Speech related to the needs of the body, food, livelihood, and speech, spiritual speech. Speech related learning, muster, chesed, calling a friend, making a shiva call. The reason the Mishnah states the guff is that it wishes to convey that the lesson it is teaching, that complete silence is the best thing. In another Mishnah on Pirkei Avot, it says, V'amar ma'at aseh harbeh, say little and do much. Actions speak louder than words, as the saying goes. I would even beg to say that saying, actions speak louder than words, comes from the V'amar ma'at aseh harbeh. Answers question number one, which was, why does Rabbi Shimon need to say that he grew up amongst Chachamim in order to teach that science is good for the body? Isn't that irrelevant? Now, Ilima, I would have thought, and says the Al-Sheikh, that complete silence is best only regarding those who are uneducated, that have not been trained to speak properly. That's curses and says Lashon Hara every 3 seconds. However, that someone who grew up amongst the Chachamim, the sages, and has learned to speak with Chachma and precision, Chachma Bina Badas, no, we're not discussing Chabad, but that's actually what Chabad stands for, Chachma Bina Badas, a limited amount of speech would only be a good thing. And the Al-Shefwin of the Gemara and the Bodhisattva, this is from an owl, says that there is much to be learned from even the most casual conversation of Talmidei Chachamim. Rav Shimon declares that this assumption is not correct. Even though I grew up amongst the Chachamim, I found nothing better than silence. Because even though I have learned how to speak with Chachma, with Bina, with wisdom, with understanding, and Das, and with knowledge, Reb Shimon is saying, I have found nothing better than complete silence. Answer number one. Answering number two. Mm-hmm. Answering number two, the question number two was, how would growing up among the Chachamim teach the benefits of silence? To the contrary, the Chachamim's occupation involves speech, learning Torah. Mishimon learned from the Chachamim, the lesson here was not about spiritual speech, it was about mundane talking. And to answer question number three, which was, goes hand in hand, the expression, I found nothing better, what does every Mishimon's lesson have to do with finding, and what would be found specifically amongst the Chachamim? And the Mishnah says that the lesson was found because it was unexpected. One would have assumed the opposite, namely that complete silence is not the best course for people such as the Chachamim to speak with Chachma Bina Vadas. He now answers question number five. We skipped four because he did four in the beginning. The math was not the Al-Sheikh's best forte. Talmud Torah, and his Torah is appreciated until this day. I particularly love the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh's expressions of Torah, so wisdom for life. Math is not the ikar. I hope I didn't just scare some math teachers or people studying to become mathematicians. Clause. Learning is not the main thing appears to be incorrect. The Gemara and Kedushin asks what is greater, Limud Torah or Mitzvot, and concludes that learning is better. So, answers the Al-Sheikh, one might end that when it comes to spiritual speech, one should go to the opposite extreme and speak as much as possible. Indeed, given that Limud Torah is greater, we would assume that more words of Torah the better, just as we assume the more mitzvot the better. To teach us that this is not correct, the Mishnah continues, study is not the main thing, but practice of what one has learned, which also answers the seventh question. Say, like we said in an early Mishnah, say little and do much. Actions speak louder than words. Maisas, doing. A medrash ha'ikar. Learning is not the ikar. Maisas is the ikar. Doing action, putting on the elbow grease, getting out there. Another answer for question 5, which is that the Gemara in Kedushin, this is still the answer, does not contradict this for itself. It explains that Limud HaTorah is greater than mitzvot because it leads to action. Same with question 5. The answer to question 6 is that Torah study is not the main thing in of itself, and it's made to the point that the Mishnah adds the word who. Now we're going to answer question 8. The Al-Shechel answer, which was the safe of the Mishnah, excessive talk leads to Avera, seems to be redundant to the Resha of the Mishnah, which is I found nothing better for the body than silence. Does it not seem obvious that if talking leads to sin, silence is the best thing? Silence is golden, as the saying goes. Therefore, excessive speech is not a good thing, even in connection with Limud HaTorah. The Mishnah teaches us in the Seifa of the Mishnah that excessive talk leads to Avera, meaning even when talking in Torah. Focus of the Seifa is different than the Resha, where the Mishnah was excessively talk discussing random chatter. Now we're going to the Al-Shech is going to answer questions 9 and 10. Question 9, with what does the Mishnah need the Seifa altogether? It already says in Mishlei that in abundance of words, sin will not be lacking. And question 10, in speaking of sin, the Pasuk of Mishlei uses the word Pesha, which refers to Avira that were done intentionally. While the Mishnah Pekiyavo uses the word Chet, which refers to Avira done unintentionally. Why is this the case? So, the Mishnah uses the word chet, unintentional transgression, in the Seifa, because the Avera results from excessive learning. Of course, unintentional, in contrast from the Pasuk and Mishlei, where we're discussing random chatter, mundane speaker uses the word pesha, where unlimited talking is bound to include unintentional transgression, such as Lashon Hara. But we need to be careful. We're learning Lashon Hara. And the Al-Shech gives two other reasons as well. In Sefer Devarim, Perek, Dalet, Pasuk, Tat, Devarim 4:9, forgetting a Torah teaching contrasts the Torah's Asurot. Only beware not to forget. And like I said earlier, and the Al-Shech brings us down to Mishnah Gedalev, of Talion said, Chum, be careful with your words. The Amar Amat Maseah Harvei. More person speaks, the more room there is for a listener to misinterpret part of what was said. And therefore, I'll tell you, good. Amar Amat Maseah Harvei. Say little and too much. We will finish the first parak tomorrow of Ezrat Hashem. And then on Tuesday, we will start the second parak. Looking forward to greeting you guys back at 7 for our new tefillah initiative. Have a wonderful day.